Okay, we're picking up three lines from the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis, where the words was Amar Le Rava. Just to remind ourselves where we were holding, we had a kasha on the shita of Rabbi Yochanan from a brisa. So therefore, basically, we came on to Rava. Abaye wanted to taina that with regards to Bia, everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish, that it would not pater her from Yibum because it doesn't help you. The only halacha was machlokes was by Chalitza. So to this, Rava responds, how can you say that in Rabbi Yochanan? Amar le Rava, manavshach. Whatever you want to argue, meaning whichever side of the halacha you want to say is going to be the halacha by Yibum, you have to say the reverse is going to be true by Chalitza as well. He's going to flesh this out. Ipias mubarish may be that if Rabbi Yochanan would hold that the Yibum of a pregnant woman would be valid, then Chalitza mubarish may Chalitza, then also the Chalitza of pregnant woman would also be valid. Meaning you can't argue both sides of the coin. However, and if you say v'ibimas v'shalosh may be, if you're going to argue like you wanted to suggest to Baye that Yibum of a pregnant woman would not be valid, then you'd have to also hold b'das Rabbi Yochanan that Chalitza the chalitza of a pregnant woman not be chalitza. Dahakai melan, because we hold turning on to now lamed vav amud aleph. We hold dahakai melan. Sorry, just turn the page. Dahakai melan the kola ola leibum ola lechalitza. Cholsheinu leibum in ola lechalitza. We hold that whoever is going to be subject to halachas of yibum is going to be subject to halachas of chalitza. That it's shayach to have chalitza is only when it's shayach to have yibum. And if it's not shayach to have yibum, it's not subject to halachas of chalitza. As Rashi quotes the drasha, the chsiv im lo yach puts each lekachas evinto v'chalitza. That if the man does not wish to do yibum, then he could do chalitza. Implication is that only when yibum is shayach through bia b'yibum is it going to be shayach as well to say that the woman should be Pater, if a woman should be chal. If there was a yibum that were shayach, then chalitza would be chal. But if yibum isn't shayach, then chalitza should definitely not be chal. Also, this is a very strong taina. That's a gzeras hakasso that we're learning it out from. So, what is the baya going to respond to that? That's a big question. The Ritva asks this kasha. It's such a good kasha that Rav is asking. What's your baya going to respond? The baya doesn't tell us what baya is going to respond. So, lechora, the Ritva says that a baya is going to have to respond that. Over here, this principle doesn't apply in the present case, because in the present case, it came out that at the end of the day, the Avama was really subject to halachas of Yibum all along. It was just that there was a doubt, there was a suffix concerning the eventual what's going to happen to the child that made Yibum impossible during the time of pregnancy, and that does not serve to nullify the fact that the chalitza was effective. However, when it comes to the bia, which into the bia essentially was a shaila, that's why it's going to be problematic. But chalitza will still be chal. Interesting answer from the Ritva. Okay, so that's how we're going to explain it. So, where's the Elmar Rava? So therefore, again, so we're going to have to defend Rabbi Yochanan differently. Now we're going to suggest that really Rabbi Yochanan holds that bia and. Like we originally thought, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the bia is a valid yibum, even if it's done while pregnant, and the chalitza is a valid chalitza. So how are you going to explain that brisa? Achi kamar, this is what the brisa means. But again, the whole problem we had was how to explain this brisa. The brisa says, "Akodes yivimta v'nimtas mu'beres," that if one marries a yivama and she's found to be pregnant, hareze lo tinase tzarasa shema yevlad ben shalbal kayama. That the Yavama's koif is not allowed to marry, and for perhaps a child who's going to be a ben kayama, someone who's able to live, and that is going to be. So this was the problem that the Braisa, again, this was the problem the Braisa originally read this way. The Gemara had to fix it because it didn't make any sense. So Rava now explaining that really, Rabbi Yochanan could read it the original way. Said, what's going to happen? The yibum of a woman is pregnant with a child is certainly not valid according to anybody, and the chalitza of a woman is pregnant is not with a child. Again, we're assuming that now that the child is going to be a child who's able to live, then everybody agrees it's not going to be a bias ishus achiv, which is going to be an iser deraisa. So even Rabbi Yochanan holds that yibum chalitza are effective when done with a pregnant woman who is going to subsequently miscarry. If she does not and she has a child, everybody agrees that the yibum chalitza is going to be not chal. So therefore, this is what Rava is explaining the braisa to mean, that if it actually happens, it's not going to be chal. Vlad in a poter actually levir olam, and the child doesn't free the widow from yibum until it actually comes and he's actually born. The braisa is telling us that even if yibum is done to a pregnant yavama, the koif is not free to marry until the child is born, because we're concerned that an unborn child is going to be there, in which case that the widow was not going to be free until he's born. The implication then is the Braisa is also saying that the unborn child is not viable, then the co-wife would be free to marry, the fact that the yibum would be done. That's what the diuk mamish like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara now says Tanak Avas de Rava. We have a Braitza that actually goes with Rava's explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Hakonis Yavim Tav Nimtas Mubaris Harez Elod Zat Tarasa. That if someone marries his Yavama and then she is found to be pregnant, the Yavama's co-wife is not allowed to marry Shema Yevlad Ben Shakama, because perhaps the child will be able to live. Ve'im Bia V'Chalitza Poteres Ela Vlad Peter. And the Yibam Chalitza doesn't free the widow from the Yibam, rather the child frees her. The child does not free her until he comes to the world, and therefore the second verse is explicitly telling us that the line of reasoning Rav is using to explain it. That what is the reasoning? Taima de Shema Yevlad Ben Kayamahu. That according to the verse, the reason that the Kohaif is not allowed to remarry while the first Yevama is still pregnant is perhaps the child will still be able to live. If he's able to live, Ha Lo Avi Ben Kayamahu Mifter Tarasa. But if the child is not able to live, then she's going to be able to Zimashba in the Braisa, that she is going to be free to marry by the fact that the Yibam was already performed by that same lady when she was pregnant. As soon as the pregnant Yivama is miscarrying, we're assuming right now in the Braisa that the Tzara, the co-wife, is allowed to remarry immediately without any further act of Yibam or Chalitza being done, because of the fact the original Yibam was done with this pregnant woman. So this Lachor is a very good Raya for Rava's explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, that indeed the Bia is Chal, and has a shame Yibam even while pregnant, and the Chalitza Vada, even Abaya agreed to that, the Chalitza would also be Chal. So the Gemara says, wait a second, this is such a good proof for Rava's explanation for Yochanan, that this is Miyakashin Rish Lakish. Lema Tevet Yuf to the Rish Lakish. L'chora, this is going to be a rejection of Shitas Rish Lakish. This price is a Beferish like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, no, Amr L'chora Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish will respond to you. Hachikitani. This is what the price is saying. Hakonis Yavim Tovan Yuntes Mubaris. If someone marries his Yavama and she is found to be pregnant, so then, then the Avama's co-wife should not marry. Shami Avlad Ben Kayama, because the child might be able to live. And he's adding in a shita now. The chalitza of a pregnant woman is not going to be valid chalitza, and even a pregnant woman is not considered going to be valid. So he's inserting this understanding into the braisa. Vlad Malayalim, and why don't you just go after the rove? The majority of women give birth to a healthy child, Baruch Hashem. That's the case even then, and culture now, we have a very good medicine and doctors, etc. More people are having healthy children, so the Yibum is going to be, we should go after the rove that says, hey, she should be able to get married Alpia rove. That's how halacha goes, the halacha is dictated based on rove. We kill people based on rove. So why don't over here we go after the rove? Gemara says, because of Vlad in Poter Achiyat Levi'olam, a child, he's not considered born yet. So therefore, even according to Rish Lakish, they're basically saying that when we say the Lashon of Vlad in Poter Achiyat Levi'olam, which the whole Diyuk of Rabbi Yochanan was, that only the child is the issue over here. If the child is, the moment that the child is either born or dies, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to get divorced. That's not what it means over here. According to Rish Lakish, this phrase is meaning to reject the different argument that she should be able to remarry immediately, even if the lady is pregnant. To that, Rish Lakish is going to respond that no, that's not the case, because at the end of the day, the Vlad isn't poter until go to Havir Olam, even though the rove chance that he will survive, still that's not enough, because it's not considered valid until he's actually born. That is the opinion of Rish Lakish, in which case we've rejected the inference that Rabbi Yochanan was able to make in this Braisa. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Efshar Isol Ay Reish to Rish Lakish, Velo Tznan Amras Nisan. So Rabbi Lazar, we're going to see, this is actually one of the three cases that we paskin like Rish Lakish, because we have Machlokas, Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. The Lacha always goes like Rabbi Yochanan, except for three cases. It's actually going to be exciting. We're Hemshech Ladaf, we're going to mention this. And Rish Lakish, almost every single time, which has been Baruch Shem a lot of times, that was in 4 years for the Shir of Shechter, whenever there's Machlokas, Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, which are their Hajjis and Shas, so we've covered a lot of them, Baruch Hashem, in the Shirim throughout those years, you'd always say that, okay, over here we have Machlokas, Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Halacha following Shechter is just always trying to give you other Klalim and all of Shas together when he's giving you whatever sugi you're doing. So he'll mention the halacha that there's machlokas Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. We're learning the halacha in the Gemara Ksubas, let's say we were learning whatever machlokas Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan were discussing over there. So then he'd say that, there's a machlokas Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara tells us that we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan, because the halacha is like the Gemara doesn't say this part, that the halacha is like the Rebbe, that Rish Lakish was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so it's like passing Rabbi Yochanan, except for three cases we have Masorah that we follow like Rish Lakish. This is not one of the three cases. This is not one of the three cases that we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. He'd always be marked in that. So that's me. He's giving us this Gemara over here, that this Gemara is going to be bringing out the klal, that this is one of the three cases we actually pass in like Rish Lakish in all of Shas. There actually might be a fourth, and Yonah Deomos, I'll mention it actually, because how to do a kinyan with a goy. Do you do a kinyan with is it Dafka Bekesef, or is it through Chalip? And this is Machlokes, Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a big shaila. Rashi and Tosos is how to understand how to paskin this. According to Tosos, since we have the cloud that we paskin like Rish Lakish in only three examples, But still, the Gemara there itself says, the Gemara B'Mitzia over there says that Kra Masnisa Misayel Reish Lakish. So we have a Braisa and a Pasuk, but the Diyuk and the Pesukim seem to follow Reish Lakish. So that's a Shaila. Do we pass them like Reish Lakish or do we pass them like Reish Lakish? Machlokas Rishonim, which were Machmir for both, because that's why I mentioned in the end of the Yoma, we're actually Machmir for this when it comes to the what type of Kinyan do we do for Mechiras Chametz. Mechiras Chametz is a potential Isser Deraisa. If you own it and not the Goy, so you're over an Isser Deraisa. So we want to make sure to be Machmir for all the Kinyanim. We actually do, I think, five separate Kinyanim. We do five separate Kinyanim with the Goy to be Machmir for all the Shitas. We try to get in everything. So one of them is this fundamental Shaila, is that does the Goy, does he have to do Chalipin to be Kone, or does he have to, on the level of Deraisa? Again, you could do Kinyanim and they're definitely Derabanan, but the Shaila is we want to, since Chametz is an Isser Deraisa, we want to make sure that it's Chal on a Deraisa, this din of giving him over the chametz. So we do five different kinyanim with him. So one of them is the kinyan kesef. He actually gives some money as down payment. That would be the kinyan. That's, you don't have to pay the whole thing. You give partial money to as a down payment. It could be whatever shav pruta probably, and that's good enough to be a kinyan kesef. And we do a kinyan chalipin. So then we also do a kinyan agav. We do, once I'm mentioning, I'll mention all five, that we do a kinyan agav, that we sell him the kinyan also with the property itself, kilo, where the property is also, that's a kinyan agav. Then we also sell, we also do a kinyan, it's a dimta, which is like the way that general people do a transaction. That's a handshake. So we do a handshake, and I'm forgetting now the fifth. We do one other kinyan with the goy also, to be machmir on all the shitas. I'm forgetting the fifth one right now. It's escaping me. But anyway, we are very machmir on the kinyanim. So that's based on this shaila. Do we pass like Reish Lakish on there? I'll get back to over here. So again, so Rabbi Lazar was bothered by it. Says again, this Masorah, we follow like Reish Lakish, and there's not an explicit mission that helps follow him. Again, we follow Reish Lakish. So why isn't there a mishnah? So Gemara says, so Nafik Dak Veeshkach. So he went out, he looked out, and he found that there is a Mishnah that follows Reish Lakish, a diuk in a Mishnah that follows Reish Lakish. This now we learn in a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'isha Shehalach Baila Vitzarasalim Dina Siyam. If a woman's husband and her co-wife went overseas, Ubo V'amrula Meis Baila. They came and they said to her, your husband has died. And she went with, it's going to see, it's Muchach by the Hamshin Leke, is that she went with the Tzara. We don't have to assume, that's Beferish in the Gemara over there, we don't have to assume, Rashi points this out, that we don't have to assume that if she's traveling without another wife, that the husband then got married someone else in addition to her, and had a child, and then came back. We're assuming, obviously, he was gone for a long time, but still, she went with the Tzara, though, she went with the other woman, and not her. So they came and reported that your husband died, and it was incredible. Edom, or one aid, and that's enough to her to get remarried. So then this woman is not allowed to marry or be taken in Yibam until, again, they didn't have any children yet. So then what happens is she's not allowed to be married or taken in Yibam until she can ascertain whether the Tzara who was there is pregnant. So she has to know that if she were, the co-wife is not pregnant, then she could marry her Yavam, or she could do Chalitza and then marry someone else. Since the co-wife might be pregnant, you have to wait till it happens. So the Gemara is talking about, again, we're not assuming though that we don't have to assume that he marries someone else and not a child. So Rabbi Lazar is analyzing this Mishnah, Bishlam Yibum Milos. Now I understand why the Mishnah is saying that he can't be taken in Yibum, because Shema Yevla Ben Kayama, if could be Isra Shaf Deraisa, because you're going to be violating an Isra Deraisa if you then decide to have Yibum when Yibum wasn't Shayach. You're violating an Isra Shaf, which is an Isra Deraisa, which is not uprooted, because the only time it's Shayach to say Isra Shaf is Motor, if a person dies without any children, then you're allowed to marry the brother. However, if that's not applicable over here, it'd be Shayla and Isra Deraisa. Says you can't do Yibum. So why can't you do Chalitza though? Why can't you do Chalitza right away and then remarry? And then Manoshach. Meaning, according to this view, that Chalitza is valid, so then why don't we assume that's going to be fine? Now I understand why, even according to this, the chalitza of a pregnant woman is valid. She cannot perform chalitza within 9 months of her husband's death, and also remarry within those 9 months, because this is going to be the uncertainty that you have to take into consideration, whether that if the co-wife was in fact pregnant, so you have to wait till the child is born. That's mamash the case. Everybody agrees that. Rabbi Yochanan would agree that also, that would not free the widow until the child is born. So that would be the case. Everyone agrees to that. But why don't she get chalitza right away within 9 months of the husband's death, and then she'll be able to marry immediately? The Mishnah seems to imply that wouldn't be the case. The chalitza done within 9 months, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is valid. And so then immediately after 9 months, manoshach, if the child was born to her co-wife, then great, she's pater, she's allowed to get remarried. And if she wasn't born after 9 months, and she's not going to be born, the child's not going to be born, that means she wasn't pregnant, in which case she had to do chalitza, and it comes out it was valid. So again, because if you hold chalitza during when pregnancy is valid, so then this should be the halacha. So doesn't this prove that chalitza of a pregnant woman is not valid? Because that's why she can't perform chalitza during the 9 months, because we're afraid that maybe Shitaka was pregnant and had a miscarriage, in which case if she was pregnant at the time of the chalitza, it's not going to be a valid chalitza. That's like Rabbi Yochanan, that Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. That's the proof over here. So the Gemara says that this isn't a good raya from the Mishnah. Why not? So again, we can hide ourselves like Al-Tavlas, but Toshim, and Hasan Achar Tisha, as we just mentioned how that works, the Tamayach, but according to your Shita, Rabbi Lazar, do you think that this Mishnah is a raya for Rabbi Yochanan, the chalitza of a pregnant woman is invalid? So why isn't the Mishnah's ruling that shouldn't the halacha be maybe techlus v'tinesel achar tisha? Why doesn't she do chalitza and marry after 9 months have passed? The Mishnah is not discussing this issue at all. Meaning, why don't you say that would do chalitza after the 9 months? And the Mishnah doesn't mention that case either. So this implication clearly is showing us that it sounds like from the Mishnah that the woman is not allowed to remarry unless she can ascertain whether the co-wife has a child. But this is going to be a problem even for the Shita of Reish Lakish according to this understanding, because according to Reish Lakish, everybody would agree that you can, after 9 months, you could do Chalitza. There's nothing wrong, so that either there was, she either gave birth to a child or a Chalitza had been done. So therefore, there is no diuk to be made in this Mishnah, because this Mishnah doesn't help you for Reish Lakish either. It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. So Ella Barmina Dahis. Rather, you have to leave that Mishnah out, because it doesn't have any diuk in our Mishnah, because the Abaye Barabba, Chanina Barma, again, the Abaye Bar Abba, and Tug Distriver of Chanina Bar Abaye, the Amrit Abaye, they both said that this Mishnah is different. They say that this Mishnah is answering her until she ascertains whether the co-wife had a child. Shema Yeh Vlad Ben Kayama. We're concerned that a child will be able to be a Ben Kayama. So and then what happens is you didn't need Chalitza or Yibum. And what happened if you actually did the Chalitza? So Venimtza, even according to Yochanan, we don't want you to do that. Venimtza Ata Matzricha Kruz LeKuhuna. You're going to have to make an announcement that she's allowed to marry a Koy. In order for her to remarry, so then what did you do? You did Chalitza. But if that Chalitza comes out, you found out that Shitaka, this lady, her co-wife was pregnant and had a child, she would be allowed to marry a Kohen, because that Chalitza was deemed invalid Chalitza. And again, Midir Rabbanan, it's usher for any woman who has Chalitza, just like a get, to marry a Kohen. But an Amana, though, is allowed to marry a Kohen. She's meant to marry everyone except for a Kohen Gadol. So here you're preventing her from being able to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, who cares? Litzricha. So make an announcement. What's the problem if you make this announcement? Because what's going to happen is, Dilma Iker Inche Dehavi Bechalitza Lo Be'achraza. People are going to make a mistake. People were there at the time that the Chalitza took place, and they're not going to be at the announcement. Beis Din makes a big announcement, one big announcement. All Kohanim, attention all Kohanim. This lady's wife, really, we thought originally that she died within her children and did Chalitza, in which case she's asked her to Kohanim, but that's not the case. She really is allowed to marry a Kohen. So what's the problem with saying this? What's going to happen is that people are going to hear these people saw the chalitza take place and they didn't hear this big announcement from Reish Lakish, and they're going to make to the mistaken conclusion that it's going to be, people are going to come to say that you're allowed to have a chalitza, marry a kohen. How could that be? That'd be a terrible avil. People think that that's a very strong din that we hold is not the case. So therefore, we tell her that she shouldn't do chalitza right away, because we're really making a benefit for her. If she eventually wants to marry a kohen, we don't want her to give chalitza. So therefore, there's no raya from the Mishnah. Amar le Abaye. Abaye is another rejection of Rabbi Elazar's proof from the Mishnah. Midi lo sichlus v'lo sisyavim k'tani. Does the Mishnah say that she shouldn't do chalitza or yibum in the Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar's proof was based on the assumption that the Mishnah means that it's usher for the woman to do either yibum or chalitza during that time. The Mishnah never speaks about doing yibum chalitza during that time. So the Gemara says lo sinasa lo sisyavim k'tani. Rather, it says that she shouldn't marry or be taken in yibum in the Mishnah. That's the only thing it says. Below chalitza, meaning she may not marry without the din of chalitza over here. She can't remarry without chalitza, meaning that most married women are going to be having children, or so maybe she conceived and had a child. So that's what we mean over here. Aval I chalitza, but in a chalami, if you did chalitza according to Abaye, chalami the sharia that it would be permitted to remarry after the 9 months have passed, according to this diak of the Mishnah. So then the Mishnah again can be explained even if we don't follow the explanation of Abaye Bar Abaye or of Hanina, you can explain the Mishnah just kipshuto and explain that there's no diak against Reish Rabbi Yochanan and there's no raya. So now the Gemara points out, though, there was no proof from a Mishnah. However, second level, we'll get a proof from a Braisa. Tanaka Vaster, Reish Lakish, we have a Braisa supporting Reish Lakish. Acholitz Mubaris Ve'Pila. Someone does Chalita with a pregnant woman, and then she subsequently miscarries. Tricha Chalita Min Achin. She requires Chalita from the brothers. So since she requires chalitza from the brothers, that shows that the chalitza is not valid. Amar Rava, the chazak of Reish Lakish, behind a klas. So this is Masura that I'll get. The Lacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The Lacha always follows the Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, except for these three cases. We're at the monumental daf right here. We're learning the three cases where the Lacha follows Rish Lakish. Again, maybe fourth to mention, but really, only, and there's many, many machloks in between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So you'll have the call, you're always passing like Rabbi Yochanan. So now again, what are they? Chada Hadaman. One of them is the Lacha that we just mentioned over here, that when Chalitza is done with a pregnant Yavama, and she subsequently miscarries, according to Rish Lakish, we passing like Rish Lakish, that she still require another Chalitza to remove the bond, to move the Zika. So Idach, what's the other halacha? This nun. So now we're getting into a little bit of halachas above Basra. We learn in the Mishnah in Bava Basra. The Mishnah tells us, HaMechalek Nechazim Alpiv, because someone who is giving money. We're talking about a shchimra over here. Shchimra is a person who's on his deathbed. He's on his deathbed and he's giving over his estate to his heirs. And the halacha of a shchimra is kimesurin uchchusuv in dama. That the halachas are as if there's a full kinyan. Normally, the first halacha in the Rambam milchas kinyanim is ein amekach nichnis bedvarim. Halacha even in American law, so that it's written down, then it's going to be, you could claim whatever you want in court that he said X, Y, and Z. If you don't have it in writing, it means nothing. So that's the same halacha with regards to but the halacha in halacha is like this as well. The halacha is that unless you have a real full fledged kinyan, it's not going to be valid. However, the Rabbanan instituted that a shchimra has the power to affect this by declaration because of the fact that we don't want him to be tarav daito. The Gemara's lashon is we don't want him to lose it. He's going to be so shaken by the fact that he can't give over his property, so we allow it to happen to him so he doesn't get even sicker. So again, so if he's a shchimra and he gives over his money. So he decided to not necessarily follow the halachas of general Yerusha, which should be the Torah tells us that you give, let's say whatever it is, you give you give a double portion to the Bechor and everybody else gets equal. He decides to give the third child who took care of him the most, he gives him the most money. And he doesn't give a double portion to the Bechor. The halacha is that his words stand because he did it while it was a gift, and since it was a gift in his lifetime, we say that the gift was chal before the guy dies. So you're not going against the halacha in the Torah that a person has to give pishnayim to the bechor. V'im amar meshum yerusha. However, if he uses the lashon of a yerusha as his inheritance, he writes explicitly in his will, it's inheritance. Lo amar klum. Because then you're going to be masna al mashakas of a Torah. The halacha is someone who's masna al mashakas of a Torah. You do something against what the Torah says. You make a t'nai, and they want this t'nai to be stipulated against what the Torah says. The halacha is that is batal. So therefore, everybody would get the equal share, and the bechor would get double portion if you say mitzad yerusha. Agav ismanazet. It's very important that a person checks into these halachas properly because there is a way around it. We do lemaisam. We do this similar thing. We make the kinyan chal when the person's still alive to avoid this problem. It's still mentioned in the poskim that you should still do a little bit of a portion and take like 5% of your money and do real Yerusha with that. Like leave that as Yerusha and give a double portion of Bechor of that money. But Be'etzim now, Bizman is it, people want to give to their daughters. They want to give equal portions to everybody, not double portion to the Bechor. So these type of halachas, so we also, the way they do it is that they make it chal from when the person's alive to not get into problems Yerusha. But if you write Yerusha, then it's very problematic. If you only have a secular will, that's very, very problematic. So you should make sure that you have a halachic one as well. Kasav bein betchila bein basov bein beemtza. If you wrote at any point in the document, whether at the beginning, the end, or the middle, mishum matana, that it's a gift, dvarav kayamim, his words are going to stand because he says, he makes it clear that he wanted it as a gift, so then it's not going to be mitzad yerushin, and he's not going to be masna amasha kasav Torah. Turning on to the next time now, lamed vav meiz. So that was the shita of Rish Lakish is addressing the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Because Ravin there said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if he wrote the lesson of a gift, but not to everybody. Meaning that he wrote that Reuven is going to get, let's say, whatever, he's going to get such and such my property in Yerushalayim. And Shimon is getting my property in Bnei Brak. So then he writes only one of them as a gift, though. He only writes, let's say, by Reuven, and he doesn't write it to Shimon. So what's the halach over there? Rabbi Yochanan said that, he meant gift by Shimon also. He just forgot to mention. He meant it by Reuven, I forgot who I said it. Again, he says it by Reuven, doesn't it by Shimon. So he meant it by Shimon also, clearly, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish disagrees with that. Rish Lakish, l'olam lo kana. No, the second guy doesn't acquire it. Ad shiomer, unless the guy giving it to him says, ploni, ploni, yarshu, sada, ploni, ploni, shana, sada, matan, virushim. That Reuven in Yerushalayim, that's granted. He said a gift. But by Shimon and Bnei Brak, my property in Bnei Brak, that's not going to be chal because he never said anything to lashon of a gift. So therefore, Rava says the lacha follows the shita of Rish Lakish in that matter, that it doesn't say by Shimon, so therefore Shimon would not inherit it because again, the lacha goes back to he's masna mashakas of a Torah, and he didn't mean to give it as a gift while he's still alive, and therefore he's going to not be chal. V'idach, so what's the other halacha with regards to Rish Lakish? Dastan, hakosav kol nechazav levne lachar moisav. As Rashi explains, you say mehayom, because how is it going to be? You're not allowed to, you're not kidding after Misa. So you say, all my property is given to you, my son, now, and then after Misa, it's going to be given to you. So then what happens now? Who's real ownership? If you say it's mehayom, it's really ready right now, so who's in ownership? So the Gemara is going to see that, but really it's kind of both of them. That the father is really wants this, he clearly wants this property for the rest of his life, so he is allowed to, if it's a property that's producing fruits, so he is allowed to be net, all the fruits and everything that the property produces is his. Whatever money he's making from that, let's say it's an investment, so whatever money he's making from the investment is the father's until he dies. Then when the father dies, then the son will be able to take it over. So what if one of them sell it? So that's the Lashon over here. So that's going to be... So the father can't sell it because... he can't make a full sale of it because as soon as the father dies, it's going to be given to the son. So it's really the son owns the goof. He owns the field. It's just not yet. The father really wants all the pears. He wants everything that's going to, all the money it's making until the father dies. And the son isn't allowed to sell it yet because who's in possession of it right now? The father. The father's in possession of the fact that he's making all the money on it. It's still. So then what happens? The father did in fact sell it. So then all the money that it makes is going to be sold until the father dies. But once the father dies, the field or whatever it was is going to go back to the son. If the son decides to sell it, the buyer has nothing until the father dies. Because again, the son is only inheriting it after the father dies. The itmar on this halacha, there's a shayla. What happens if machar ben b'chayav, if the son taka sells it in the father's lifetime, umesa ben b'chayav, and then the son subsequently dies while the father's still alive? So this is the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kana lo kef. The buyer doesn't acquire it whatsoever. Because at the end of the day, when the father dies, the property goes to the heirs of the father. Because at the end of the day, the father only gave it to him after it's going to be when he's dead. The Gemara is going to flesh out why this is. And therefore, since the father didn't die, and the son was makdim and died first, it goes back to the father and then goes back to the regular lachas of Yerusha, not to the guy who bought it. The person who bought it would in fact be kona it. So the Gemara is going to get into what's the Yisod of Machlokas over here. Rabbi Yochanan says that the buyer doesn't acquire the property because he holds kinyan aperos ki kinyan aguf dami. He holds that ownership of the fact that you have a kinyan aperos, that's ki kinyan aguf dami. It's tantamount. It's like its ownership of the actual property itself. And therefore, if somebody owns the rights to the property, it's like you own the property himself. And therefore, that means that the guy really owned the property even during. So therefore, the son really owned the main property during the lifetime of the father. And therefore, the son's sale is valid. And he would. Opposite. The son's sale would not be valid because kinyan aperos kinyan aguf means that the father is really the owner. Sorry, I got confused over here. The father is really the owner over here, and therefore, when the Mishnah says if the son sold the property, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, that implies when the father buys, the buyer does acquire the property. So the Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain that this Mishnah is applying only when the son outlives the father. For in that case, the son can't, in Rabbi Yochanan's view, sell the land while the father is going to be. So he can sell the rights that's going to come to him, but since the son is still there, he's allowed to sell it. But in another case, it's not chal. And Shlokish Marakana Lokev, because he holds Kinan Paris love Kikikan Aduv Gami. Shlokish holds that the Kinan Paris is not like a Kinan Aguf, that's how we paskin, that it's therefore that who's the main owner right now? According to Rish Lakish, the main owner is the son. So therefore, the son, when he sells anything, it's really it's going to be a full-fledged sale. And even if the son dies first, subsequently, whoever he sold it to would be given to that. So we really hold Kinan Paris is a lot of Kinan and a goof. We hold like Rish Lakish. This is one of the third. This is the third case we hold like Rish Lakish. Okay, that's the Machlokas between Rish Lakish and the three times the Paschal like Rabbi Rish Lakish. Now, in Avlad Shokayam, the Mishnah told us that the child isn't able to live, she's allowed to keep his wife. Tana, Mishem Rav Lezer Amru Yotzi Beget. No, as a punishment, since this guy violated a potential Issa Deraisa, again, when he decided to have Bia with her, it was a suffix Issa Deraisa, because if this child was not going to live the 30 days, or if she'll have a miscarriage, then this guy was violating the Issa Kares of Ashes Achiv. So that's something that's very chamor, and therefore, so is it, it's a shayla, is it a Kares after Chayav, but it's an Issa Deraisa nonetheless, for sure, that would be. Since he violated this halacha, Rabbi Lezer says as a punishment, we make him get divorced. So now this lechora, this comes out, and we make him get divorced, and even though it was his full-fledged wife, you give him a get. Rashi's explanation is a little bit difficult though, because Rabbi Lezer seems to be going with the opinion of Rish Lakish. Don't we pass on like Rish Lakish that said that when you give when you do a yibum and the woman is pregnant, and even if it comes out then you later, we be pass on Rish Lakish who says that the yibum wasn't valid at all. So then you would need also chalitza. So in a chanami, Tosas Yisharim disagree with Rashi. They say not just a get alone like Rashi says, but rather you need both a chalitza and a get. Meaning the point is that he's not allowed to remain with her because he violated the Safik Isser. That's how the Rishonim explained the Gemara over here. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, Amru Devar Echad. Whenever we say Amru Devar Echad in the Gemara, it's a nice thing you should know. They go in and say that we don't pass them like that. Because the Inalach Geshita, we're trying to find who holds this strange Shita. So therefore, we never pass them like this. Anyway, what do they say? Rabbi Lazar Adam, Rabbi Lazar says that what we just said, that you give or get, we make you get divorced. Rabbi Meir says, they send a Loisa Adam Ubaris Chavir Menekas Chavir. There's another Isser Rabbanan, and a person's not allowed to marry the pregnant ex-wife of his friend, or the nursing ex-wife is his friend. The reason the Gemara says, because we're afraid that, to want her to live for 24 months, and she's asked to nurse the baby, you don't want to get pregnant, why isn't that an issue with the same husband? Okay, that's the Gemara discusses that. But Betzim, there's an Isser Rabbanan to do these two things. But Yim Nasa, what happens if you violate the Rabbanan? Yotzi v'lo yachshir lamas. According to your mayor, you must avoid her, you violate the Rabbanan, we make you get divorced, and you're never allowed to remarry her. As a punishment. No, you divorce her for right now, and then when time comes, after 24 months, you're allowed to then remarry her. So the Gemara says, Amar le abaye. So again, Rav wants to tell you that these two things are the same halacha. So the Gemara says, Amar le abaye. What basis are you telling these halachas are the same? Dilma loi. Maybe this isn't the case. Adkan lukam Rabbi Elazar hacham. Where you're violating a suffix Isra Daraisa, so then I understand that you risk violating Isra Daraisa, then we're going to make a knas on you that you're never allowed to remarry or you must get divorced. Aval Hasam Darabanan, here we're violating Dindarabanan, Karabanan Sferalai, so maybe I'm going to remember Lazar Holtak Darabanan, that really you could divorce her and then after 24 months you could remarry her. Or the other way around, you could say the other way, that maybe the other way, Rabbi Meir wouldn't agree with Rabbi Lazar. Ina, maybe you could say, Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Meir hasam alim shum derabanan. There's halacha, there's a concept that many, we didn't see it as manazah, unfortunately, the same thing, that people were swimming on Shabbos. So I'm never going to come to build a boat. We don't know the reasons of chazal. You have to keep every din derabanan, every takana chazal is extremely important that you keep these halachas. So people are sometimes relaxed and it's during derabanan, it's only derabanan, it doesn't matter. So chazal shalom to say that. But that's a very, very big, so therefore, so many times the chachamim will make a chizuk that they make their punishments and their halachas stronger than Yosef Mishal Torah. So here's one of those examples, therefore we make you get divorced. As opposed to we're violating Isra Raisa, there's no reason to make a takana that you get divorced, because everyone is afraid of a din deraisa. So therefore, they're not going to come to violate this halacha, we don't have to make a gzira for everybody else. The Chachamim also chizik l'divreim, Yosef Mishal Torah, the Rabbanan made a din that it's more than that, stronger of that of Torah. V'halacha midaraisa bidir, in the case of marrying a pregnant Ivama, which is the din deraisa. I mean, first person, I mean, again, people are going to be careful with the din deraisa, and that would be the point of view, and therefore you don't have to come to make the din. Amar Rava, so where it now says. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, l'divrei Chachamim yotzei baget. According to Chachamim, who say that the braisa, that someone who marries a pregnant wife, you divorce her, it means that you have to give her a divorce. Meaning it's not enough to just stay apart, that you make her say, separate yourself, and then you guys can come back together. You must actually give her a get. Amar Mersa, sure, thank you. There's also the Chora Mediak. This is a seemingly precise language of the braisa, which says the Tani Yotzi, the Tani Yafir. It doesn't say they should separate from her, rather it says Yotzi, which means that you Yotzi usually means Yotzi beget. We hold the extra have to give a get. Okay, but let's we'll pick up from already. You know, we'll go a little bit more. Amar Lei Ravashi Ravoshe. It's a new Indian. We'll pick up of Amar Lei Ravashi Ravoshe Bezreshem in tomorrow's stuff.